3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The nobody beats The Miz, not even Paul Skeenis edition. The big day for me yesterday, I converted Homer on something and he joined my club, which I very rarely join his, but I don't know if he's ever joined mine, but he did yesterday edition. And most importantly, did Mark Tauscher shock the world? Did he do the impossible? In 2025, did he successfully avoid the outcome of Brewers Pirates? I mean, I guess I shouldn't have said nobody beats The Miz because I gave it away in case he hasn't done it yet. Did he manage the media blackout and be able to watch Brewers Pirates without knowing the outcome edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you could possibly need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, available in both the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And to tell his tale from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How did it go? Did you pull it off?
Well, let me first off say nice game by The Miz, the Brewers. And Jesse, were you at the game yesterday?
I was not. I wish I was.
Gabe was.
I thought you left early to go to the game.
No, I left early to go to the dentist. I went to the dentist and I got home just in time for first pitch.
Well, you sent a picture on Twitter like you were at the game. You kind of falsely led me to think that you were at the game.
It's called a GIF, Tausch. People tweet those things out when they're excited about things and want to put some supplementary imaging.
GIF is supposed to be ironic. Anyways, so here's kind of the deal. Went to the golf outing yesterday with the anticipation of, you know, taping the game, getting home, watching it at 5 or whatever time, knowing it was going to be an uphill battle. Now, understanding via text message and social media and internets and conversations and et cetera, kind of thought, all right, I think I could pull this off because wasn't looking at my phone, was in the moment, was living in the present as Michael Jordan did and is one of the big things in The Last Dance that I think I missed the first time. Be present all the time. Very hard to do in today's day and age. So I thought I was doing pretty well. And as the day was going, it was, 2:30, 3 o'clock. I thought I would stay out on the patio. Nothing was on the patio, and it was a little overcast and muggy. And when I walked in the clubhouse, it ended. And the more I thought about it, yeah, it wasn't my phone. It was the clubhouse. The games were on all the TVs because, obviously, like I said, is the most heralded game in this decade, if not this century.
This century, yeah.
Well, and then the other part was I do my Wednesday hit with Jim, Matt, and Molly, and understanding that they were going to probably either spill the beans about what happened or I was going to talk about it. It ended. So it was either that or it would have been Wooly, their producer, talking about, and he started right away. He didn't even say hi. He's like, oh, did you see the Miz? What a game. All this. So
you thought you were going to be able to do an appearance on another radio show without getting the result of the game spoiled?
Yeah, I forgot that I do my hits with them on Wednesday. So to answer your question, Jason, it didn't go well. I ended up kind of in the worst of both worlds on it. I saw what was happening. I didn't even rewatch the game.
What?
So I'm kind. Yeah, I didn't. Well, I knew what happened. This wasn't sport. The reason live sports draw the money that they do, and is because you live in the moment. It's live.
Exactly.
That's why
what
it
I
is
was going to
so
bring
special.
Up. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for as much as I was excited about yesterday's game, I ain't going to lie to you. For me, I am sure if you were in the stadium and if you're anywhere else, the way I approached it could not have been worse. Result was the worst. It sounds like the game was good. You know, a little bit more limited. Skinas only went 4 innings, got rocked around a little bit, and then he complained that there were little bloop shots. Nothing was hit hard. Miz only goes 5 innings. I don't see any of it live. I actually ended up, I saw the 4-0 score, and I think I got in at like the top of the 6th. So it wasn't even Miz pitching. So Miz didn't pitch with anything that I actually saw. Skinas, I didn't know what happened. I didn't know if he got hurt or if he just got robbed. 4 runs isn't that big a deal. And so
most runs he's given up in an inning, I believe.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nice job. Good win. Good series win. All the stuff that we're talking about. But in the grand scheme of things, I probably timed it up and did it about as bad as I possibly could have.
So I am curious on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. Do you have yourself any epic successes on trying to avoid outcomes of games so you could watch later without knowing the outcome, or bad beats where you were almost home free and something ruined it for you? 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more.
So, Jason, should I have just jumped in and was on my ESPN app or whatever, not watching the game, but I could have been listening to it on our station. Should I have just embraced it and not just done the golf? Because this ended up being a very kind of disappointment for
me.
Yeah,
I can feel the
disappointment. Game that I looked this forward to, and now it's done, and I didn't really get much out of it.
Yeah, first of all, I commend you on trying.
Thank you.
It's like the Bart Simpson cake that says, at least you tried. Because I respect the effort. I do. I think there is value.
I know you do.
In the effort. So I respect it. I also respect that you did something that I agree is very important. Be where your feet are. Right? Be in the moment, in the present. Don't be in the past or thinking about the future. Enjoy the moment you're in. I respect that too. I also respect the fact that you acknowledged that you literally could not have had it go worse because you missed the matchup of the ages and you joined the broadcast after both were out of the game and you knew where the game stood. Like, that's the worst. I suppose the only thing worse.
Literally what I just said, yeah.
Yes, I was reiterating it. I sometimes do that on the program.
I understand.
And then I get accused of not listening. The only thing that could have been worse would have been if you had gotten all the way home with not knowing on your way to sit down in front of your television, remote in hand, and Max or Eleanor walks in and says, "Boy, I can't believe how well The Miz pitched. He really did outpitch Paul Skenes, as Dad calls him." Mm. That would have been a worse beat. But this was pretty bad. And the fact that you missed the two of them pitching and still saw part of the game that you were trying to avoid, that's got to sting.
It was annoying. I thought going in it was going to be a tough.
That's why it was 45 plus 4,500 at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Yeah, it was
going to
be tricky.
Yeah, it was a
big
bet.
Not going on Twitter and muting a couple of text conversations and not really engaging. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as bad, and then until it wasn't. So yeah,
it was going great until it
was a poorly thought out plan. And then it was executed even worse.
Well,
and when
now,
you have that happen, you're going to get disappointment.
Look, I'm not here to coddle you. You're not the coddling type.
Okay.
But it was a poorly thought out plan. Where do you feel like you went wrong? I thought the plot was decent.
Because it was a big game.
So you get done with the round.
I should have just embraced watching and or listening. I shouldn't have said, "Oh, I'm going to stay at Clara because I'm going to try to watch it." Like, it's not 19. What I learned yesterday, a couple of things. Even if this would have been 1986, I don't know if it would have been as readily available on the telly. I don't think it would have been. I don't remember. Were Brewer games on every day in the 80s?
No, they were definitely not.
I don't believe so.
Channel 18 on occasion, home games.
Yeah, if it was 86, I probably could have pulled it off. If it was 2006, I couldn't
have. You and Mookie Wilson.
So, I'm 30, 40 years. I tried to do something that 40 years ago maybe I could have. There's a lot of things that I couldn't do 40 years ago. So, I made a mistake. I'm not going to try to ever effort doing something like that again because it's dumb. And in a microwave society that we're in, where everything comes out hot, you need it now. I think it's time to embrace that. That's just where we're at, and that's what I'm going to do.
There, I think you just had a bad plan. There are success stories. Jane and Wanaki are on the Carbless Dog and Text Line. I walked through an airport without my glasses on because they had a giant TV during a Packers playoff game. The pilot purposely did not announce the score, so it wouldn't be a spoiler for us that recorded. I did not listen to the radio in the car on the way home, and it was not spoiled. That was a Packers playoff game, not a Brewers Wednesday day game in June.
And it made it worth it when she fell off the jetway because she couldn't see where she was going.
She tripped on the escalator. She fell down the stairs because she had her eyes close to her glasses. But outside of that, it was pretty doggone good.
The last time I attempted what you attempted yesterday was, I want to say, 5 or 6 years ago. The Packers were playing the Bears in December. And it was a noon kickoff at Lambeau. I was driving home from my friend's place in northern Illinois, and Becca was driving home from, I think, up north from the weekend. And so we were both getting home around the same time, 2 o'clock. So we recorded the game, and we both committed to not listening to any of that. We only listened to music or podcasts. Got home, had every communication shut off, didn't look at the phone, and both of us successfully watched the Packers game on a couple hours delay without having anything spoiled. So you just surrounded yourself by too much communication to set yourself up for failure in this. If you just shut it off, you can do it.
I'm not going to be as harsh in my. I'm not going to be as harsh in my critique. I do want to ask one follow-up question. So you're on the patio. Your round is over.
Yes. Yeah. 59 in a scramble, and it didn't get it done yesterday, which is 9 mulligans we had, and we still didn't get it done.
But we only used them on the green. So had you just, like, did you have other commitments then? Like, were you hanging out with people? Could you have walked off the patio and to your Chevy Tahoe from Zimbrick Chevy in Sun Prairie and driven home and pulled this off? Were you that close, like the Packers in the 2014 NFC Championship game in Seattle, and you Brandon Bosticked it by going into the clubhouse? Is that what happened here?
So I don't know how many charity golf outings you've been to, but typically you have to, you don't have to, you don't just leave when the golf is done. You typically, there's,
I understand,
like,
this
options.
Was a different, I guess I'm asking, was this a different scenario where you had one thing you really wanted to do? And people would have understood. Yeah. You didn't have to tell them why you were leaving. I would tell you the game on my VCR. I got to go.
I wouldn't. First off, it's not a VCR, but your point's taken. My boy Gurney got in the putting contest. He, you know, they do these things at the turn where you make a putt, and then you get put in a pool if you make this putt, and then you can win big cash at the end of it, and then half goes to the charity and half goes to the cause and half goes to you. So he made it in. I was going to make sure. I was going to watch. You know, that was scheduled at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And you want to have a Coors Light after the round and actually talk to the people you golfed with a little bit and sit around. And
sure.
So you have to go in if you're going to go do it. And that's the decision that I made. And I thought there might be an outside possibility, like wrestling or ESPN or something else is going to be on.
Wrestling.
And, of course, that wasn't the case. So I knew once I walked in there, I was probably the gig was going to be up, but it was sticky and it rained a little bit, and you had to use the restroom, and then you wanted to get a beer, and so all in all, you know, I ended up with my 16-ounce Coors Light, beautiful Blue Mountains, and I ended up watching some lefty that I never heard of pitch. That's kind of how it played out.
Well, it was a pretty good run, but you did again. I'm not
about five innings, 4 hours.
I'm not second guessing you here, but you were home free if you wanted to be. You made the choice. You made the choice to field that onside kick instead of block and let Jordy Nelson catch it instead. You bosticked. You bosticked.
Wow. Maybe. Well, it definitely did not turn out the. It definitely did not turn out the way I'd hoped. That I can agree with you upon. It was not executed the way I needed to.
I feel like, you know, Tony Cartagena texted us this morning. He couldn't wait to hear the story. I feel like this is very anticlimactic. Like, I thought this was going to be a celebration of a big, big, big win for you.
See, that's never where I would disagree with you on. I think in this case, the last thing you want to do is just be something mundane. Like, this is how it's either going to be a big success or you don't want, like, the middle. And this was about as epic of a failure as you could have had, because I ended up not even watching the game. I ended up watching the part of the game that, no offense to the Brewers and Pirates, it would have been like a normal Monday game with two just whatever starters going. I ended up missing the kind of the cream on this whole thing. I ended up getting, again, no offense to anybody, but I ended up getting some sediment on the bottom of my cup. Like, that's because 4-0, game's kind of rap city. Neither of the guys were pitching, and my interest level waned pretty quickly. So, I don't know. You could say it's anticlimactic. You could also say it was an epic failure. And typically, epic failures aren't anticlimactic. But
no. Just feels, yeah, okay. Well, it feels like an unforced error to me. It feels like you were on the cusp of being in the car and on your way home, sitting comfortably with your Coors Light in your hand and your big lazy boy recliner, watching Skeenis and the Miz go at it from pitch number one.
Was Libby down there? Did she come to the game?
I don't know. Jesse, you were there.
Jesse, you were there. Yeah, tell us, Jesse.
I was not there, but there were no sightings of Libby Dunn on the FanDuel Sports Network
Wisconsin
broadcast.
I was told she was in the Bahamas. That's what you said, Tausch.
Yeah,
because you follow
her. Like I said,
I accidentally started
following her on Instagram as this whole thing was unfolding.
Hate when that happens.
It did. But I think a lot of times people post the pictures after they're back, right? So it was maybe it wasn't a live shot. Maybe today she'll post something from AmFam Field.
Yesterday she was
in the Bahamas and whatnot.
Does she put up a lot of good content on that Instagram feed of hers?
She's good. Like, yeah, she knows how to work an Instagram account.
A lot of good jokes and
really
stuff. Yeah, like Jim Gaffigan.
A lot of memes.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
A lot of serious issues being discussed there. Okay, well, this was an epic fail.
Yeah,
as you put it. Well, maybe you need to have something really good that is not going to be a failure happen. And that would be replacing your windows with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. It is anything but an epic fail.
I'd agree. Time to upgrade your Brewers watching experience or your windows and or doors, and you don't want to spend a fortune. Well, Pella has you covered. The best in the industry, and they have a product line for every budget. Right now, you can get no interest, and you have no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now. And wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on June 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
From one epic fail to another, Alex Stroff threw out a first pitch at the Lakeshore Chinooks game. While it was not quite as bad as his three cone drill, it wasn't good. We'll discuss next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. It's a beautiful.
.44-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Lists is more, and it would have been nice if Tausch had seen even lists of the game, or more, while the two great pitchers were actually in that game. Chris, in the YouTube
comments... Did it live
up
to the hype for everybody that watched it? Did it live up to the hype?
Jesse, you were there. Tell us more.
I was not there, but yes, it did live up to the hype. Skeens giving up.
How can we say? Just wait a second. Listen, man. I don't want to be
Debbie Downer. In an inning.
Gave up four runs and Miz pitched five innings. You got nine innings of pitching between the two of them. Not even half the game.
For an hour and a half, it lived up to the hype.
That's not what I asked.
The Brewers getting to Skeens and the way that they got to Skeens with kind of a dink and dunk approach and making
got.
It work. Bill Schroeder said on the TV broadcast, this is exactly how you beat Paul Skeens, and they had a masterful job in doing so. You're not going to hit the ball out of the park. You're not going to launch them off the wall, but you got to dink and dunk your way. You got to run the bases smartly. You got to wait for the right pitch. And they did a great job hitting at the bottom of the order yesterday to get to Skeens in that second inning. Shortest outing of his career outside of one that was an intentionally short outing at the end of the year last year.
Did we go to the game to watch both these two battle and get like 7-8 innings of like going just head-to-head mono strikeouts and low scoring? I know Jason hates low scoring football, but I don't know where he stands on baseball. I don't get how we can be – did it really when you didn't even get half the game with the two stars in it?
Mm-hmm. And Jesse got his teeth cleaned during it. So it was impressive.
Mizorowski had a no-hitter through three again. He walked the leadoff batter and then like nine in a row set down. Eight strikeouts, a career high for him so far.
But it was just,
sure, he only threw five innings, but they were a masterful five innings, and it has the baseball, the sports world buzzing.
Buzzing.
Yeah, I think we're trying to justify. That's what I think. I mean, good. It's a nice game, but if you got two old war horses going at each other, I want to see it.
Well, young
Skeenis
war horses.
Got rocked. Great for the Brewers. Hey, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Brewers' approach and how they executed, but when you have a monster matchup, you want to see it play out. And I don't necessarily think yesterday was that. Now, I didn't watch. I only saw the sixth inning, but I don't know. I mean, am I crazy to think that it wasn't didn't live up to the hype? Even
they dinked and dunked
for four runs.
So I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to anger you.
Well, you can antagonize me. You do it well.
Are you in the bargaining stage of
maybe
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stage?
But do you understand my point?
You are uniquely unqualified to talk about this game.
Good.
Uniquely unqualified.
Bargaining.
So you're telling me if you get LeBron and Giannis, and Giannis and the Bucks pull ahead by 15 in the second quarter, and then they say, LeBron, you're done for the game. You're going to say that was an epic battle? That's what I'm asking.
All right. First of all, as you pointed out.
First off, LeBron never plays when he comes to Milwaukee. That's one thing.
It's not 1986, as you said earlier. Pitchers do not throw complete games. So it's not as if Jacob Mizrowski.
They don't pitch four innings.
Right, but how many more innings would Jacob Mizrowski have pitched? Maybe one more?
One or two.
And you would have gotten to see him pitch in the sixth inning when he went into the clubhouse?
This is entirely self-serving.
Just trying to make yourself feel better, man. And I get
it. All right, so everybody that was at, it sounds like AmFam was full on a Wednesday,
biggest
which is
crowd
blank
of the
and
year.
Awesome.
Biggest crowd of the year.
Do you think that everybody that went was like, absolutely, it lived up to the hype?
Yeah, I think they probably feel like it did. Let's say if there's a scale at the top of the hype,
the hype train was hot. The hype train was hot.
I mean, would it have been better if they both would have thrown no hit ball for the first six innings and they both left the game with no one having gotten a hit in the game? Yeah, that would have been better. But it seems to me that, especially if you're a Brewers fan, because they did get runs against Skeenis, as you call him. I'm sorry, but I think it did, to a degree, live up to the hype.
Why are you sorry? No, I'm glad.
Because
everybody
feels that way. I feel like you kind of wanted it to not live up to the hype. Because
you
didn't even get
looking,
to watch.
Jason, I'm just trying to be a fair analyst on this.
Yes,
and
Elizabeth.
I was not there. So I can't tell you. I'm assuming,
Kubler-ing.
Obviously, there. Hold up. Obviously, there's a ton of juice, and that's awesome. And I think there's probably a lot. What was it, the second inning that they scored four? Is that
correct,
right, Jesse?
Yes,
I know,
sir.
You were there.
Correct.
Second
yeah.
inning.
So don't you think after
clean.
Probably the middle of the third, top of four, the balloon started deflating a little bit? It wasn't like this was some. This was a decrescendo game. You had it high, and it was hot. And all of a sudden, you hit it with the four, and then all of a sudden, the air comes. Psh, and next thing you know, you turn into bottom of the fifth, and you're like, just wait a second. Who's this cat for Pittsburgh? What is he doing? Oh. That's not even half the game. So can a game really be that enticing and living up to the hype if after two and a half or three innings, it's kind of like, all right, then.
If you're a Brewers fan and not just there to see the two best pitchers in baseball for the story.
But that's why this game was so hyped, Jesse. Not because we're Brewers
fans.
I've been to a Brewers game on a Wednesday before.
So the Brewers are now 9 games over 500 on the season. That's a high water mark for the year. They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last month plus. When you put up a 4 spot on Paul Skeens and chase him after 4 innings for the shortest outing of his career, except for that one outing where it was on purpose that he only threw a couple innings and then left, that's a major win for the team and a major win for the scope of the season with the Miz on the mound also throwing
Jason
8 strikeouts.
Or Jesse, is that why 42,000 people showed up yesterday? Or did they show up to see a duel, a battle? Because that's what the hype was about.
You show up.
That's my question.
The pitching matchup got people in, but the Brewers fans who were in, who wanted
why
to see.
Why did people show up? Why on a June Wednesday was the stadium full? Was there a bobblehead night? Or was it because there are two war horses going at each other?
Because the seniors got to walk the warning track after the game. But also because, yes, there were two
of the brightest young pitching stars in baseball on the mound going toe-to-toe, and you want to see how the game plays out. And we, as Brewers fans, want to see the Brewers win the game. So the Brewers winning the game by getting to Skeens plus Mizorowski going 5 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts all adds to the experience. Yes, it lived up to the hype. The Brewers beat Skeens.
So
they went toe-to-toe. Miz won.
Okay. All right. My question for both of you is, if you watch, and I think one of the great movies that has been put out, and I watch it every time I get on an airplane, Top Gun Maverick. If within the first 30 minutes of that movie, Tom Cruise gets up there, goes and does his deal, and they conquer the whole thing, and it's done. And then they still put another hour and a half of movie out. Am I going to walk out of there and say, and I don't know what the hell they're even going to put out there. They're going to put other parts that are going to have this because nobody can tell me even who pitched.
Romance with Penny Benjamin.
So if that happens, are we going to sit here and say, man, that movie lived up to the hype? Or are you going to say, man, the first 30 minutes were dynamite, and I don't know what the hell they did the last hour and a half? What are we? Because that's what happened yesterday. Let's make no mistake about it. Is that what we're going to now do when we watch a movie, too? It's a hype movie, and all of a sudden it comes out guns blazing. Cruz goes and wins. He solves that little wave deal. He figures it out. They win. They get the nuclear stuff done. The world is saved. Great America. Woo-woo. And then I don't know what you do for the next hour and a half. That's what yesterday was. It was. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I'm not going to tell you wrong. I'm going to let you feel your feelings. And we're going to take a call.
By the way, Jacob DeGrom pitched 8 innings yesterday. He's 38.
He did, yeah.
Oh, did you see that game?
He had a great game.
No, I just got a
– Did you take
it? I got a text. Let me tell you this. I got a text from a former producer of this program, and he said absolutely the place was fizzled by the third inning. So – Tony's pretty – I'm not going to put anybody's business on the street, but Tony Cartagena is a pretty observant fella, okay?
The poll is in the field.
Well, I'm going to lose this poll by a big number. I mean, come on.
Did the Brewers-Pirates game featuring the Miz versus Paul Skeens live up to the hype? Yes or no?
Pretty straightforward question.
Yep, that is.
Let's take a call. Let's talk to Justin in Waukesha. Justin, welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I thought the game did live up to the hype yesterday. Watched it, loved it.
Okay.
So, thanks for a moment for therapy for a repressed memory on watching a game fail for me. The 2015 Holiday Bowl. And so we're watching it live as can be, but it was the start of kind of, you know, the streaming that you could plug into your TV. We're watching it. Didn't know enough about the delay. So this is the Jack Citchy 3-sack game where he comes back in the second half. Back and forth, a late field goal. Badgers take the lead. They're getting interception on the next, but they can't get a first down to ice it. So USC is driving. Everybody in the room is standing up, hands on our head. My phone dings. I think it's like a group text because it's like 17 seconds left and take a look. And it's a notification from ESPN. Badgers win. Game over. Just kind of deflated the whole moment. You know, you're there, this back and forth game. You're watching it live. You think you're doing everything right. And I had to learn that lesson the hard way. Tape delays. Tough. Well, great. We won.
That's awesome.
That's worse than mine.
I thought I was doing it right.
So do you, Tausch, do you remember that bowl game? You're obviously the radio analyst of Badger football. Does that game stick out for you?
I mean, I remember 3-sack Jack and winning the game, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's at the top of my.
It was 9:30 kickoff time local out
right.
in San Diego.
Yeah,
I think they were still playing it.
Yeah, that's late for me. I think I fell asleep.
Well, Justin, I'm hoping.
But like
you
yesterday's game, if it was like yesterday's Brewer game, I could. It would have been no big deal. You know.
All right, we will. We will keep Kublering after Tausch tells us.
I think by the end of the show, I'm going to sit here and tell you it was the greatest game in the history of AmFam Field. I mean, is that what you think?
I don't even remember what happened.
I don't know what acceptance looks like for you, but you are definitely not at acceptance.
Who won? I don't even remember.
Is my Tom Cruise, is that a fair comparison?
No.
Why? That is what happened.
First of all, the Brewers were never, they're not going to allow their pitching phenom to, they took him out with a no-hitter going in his first start after five innings.
I ain't
innings,
mad at
right?
Miz. I'm saying it was just, there was, right, but it was a knockout into second round.
My point is, you didn't miss out on a lot of Miz pitches that you otherwise would have seen when you went into the clubhouse in the sixth inning.
Sure.
Maybe he pitches the sixth, right? Skeen's only pitching four innings. Yeah, that's less than you would have hoped. But again, I'm not here to speak for Brewers fans, but the fact they got that's the most runs he has given up in an inning in his pitching career. They chased him earlier than he's ever been chased by another team. So it kind of feels like it was, you know, you got to see a really good pitcher from another team, and he pitched really good for three of the four innings he pitched. But more importantly, your guy pitched better, and your team won to get to their highest over 500. Remember, they were sub 500 when Jesse called for the manager's job. Seems like it was a pretty good day at the ballpark for Gabe Neitzel, who was there, and for Jesse, who was there.
Okay.
I wasn't there.
So you say. That's like Tausch saying I didn't drink Coors Light when I was at my golf outing. He would never say that because it would be a lie.
Exactly. Well, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Keep sending your bad beats on trying not to find out the outcome of a game so you could watch it plausibly live. I'd be very curious to get some more of those stories. Justin's was a good one. Tausch is obviously a abject failure. 844-770-3776. You can text those in to the Carbless Talk and text line. I do want to get to a few of the texts we've already gotten, and then to Alex Strofe. We need to have a conversation about our guy Strofe. That's all still ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
There are moments where it feels like you're close, but taken holistically, those look like blips.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
To win a championship, you have to consistently be that team.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
As Tausch works through the five stages of live sports spoilers and the depression that comes with it, we continue to get calls and texts. So we'll get to Strofe at some point. We'll get to the Packers as well at some point. But I do want to get some more calls. Now, I will be honest. I don't want any. I'm kind of rooting against victory laps here. As much as I want people to succeed, and I'm a very supportive type person, I kind of feel reading the room that more of a commiserating fails theme would be more helpful to the program. Misery loves company, if you will. But maybe not.
Mizorowski loves company.
Whatever happens, happens. It can be great, can be terrible. It's usually funnier if it doesn't go great, but
not always. Let's go to Andy in Green Bay first. Andy, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How you doing?
Guys, good. How are you?
Great. What do you got for us?
Well, I got to tell you, I pulled the Tausch yesterday. I was down here in Milwaukee by 71st and Blue Mound, and I thought I'd catch a shuttle from where you guys did your remote.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Magoo's, yep.
Magoo's on the mound. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And I was in walking distance, and I was like, well, I'm going to go check this game out. Took me like 3 hours to get in line for the shuttle. That's how it was busier than opening day. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Big hype. Yep, big hype.
Oh, well, not that it was lived up to.
Well, we'll see.
Then I finally got on, went down. No standing room tickets. Dunzo.
Sold out.
Okay.
A lot of hype for that game.
So
a lot of hype.
So did you...
So then I tried to come back. I tried to hop the shuttle to come back so I could at least watch the game. I ended up watching it on the radio.
That's tricky.
We like the radio network around here.
Big fans of 620 WCMJ.
Yeah, so, but you got to stream them in a different way. It's kind of funny, but
Andy, did you see any? So then you were just relegated to watching the highlights, which Tausch would tell you were all over after the fourth inning. But that's all you saw then. You were within a few Mizorowski pitches of being there live, and instead you saw nothing of it live. Fair?
Saw nothing of it live.
Ouch.
Had to hop the shuttle back to Magoo's.
Well, at least I got good food.
Good spot.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for helping Tausch go through his phases of disappointment. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Well, that seems worse because you think you're on the precipice of actually going to the game.
You're running around sweating. Yeah, that sounds a lot worse, actually.
Oh, see, I told you. That's much better. All right, let's see if we got another one here. Let's go to Craig in Illinois. Craig, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you very much for having me. Hey, real quick, two things. First of all, as far as being disappointed with video game or recording, I recorded McIlroy going for his grand slam, and I had it all set, and I have been very successful, first of all, recording things and not getting the results because I'm really good about it. And literally I got home from a trip, turned on the TV, and I turned it on, and it was already on the game, the round, the golf, and I saw him hoisting the trophy as I turned the TV off.
Oh, that's frustrating. Yeah, you don't want that.
I had my afternoon all planned. I was all by myself. My wife and grandkids and family were doing something else. My afternoon was like I had a cold beer set, of Coors Light. And I was
nice.
This is going to be just me on this in the sunroom watching to see if McIlroy chokes it away or not. And I saw him hoisting the trophy, and I went, you've got to be kidding me.
So wait a minute now, Craig, because you'd had such a good run. You just said it yourself, if you do say so yourself, that you were really good at it. Like
I am. I'm very good at it.
Right, but how did someone who's so good at it screw this up so epically that you just happened to have left your television on, CBS?
I fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line, is what that was. Yeah, exactly. I normally am real good at when I record something, then I know to turn the TV or the cable. We have a direct TV, sorry for the plug. And
well, they sell ice cream.
I normally turn it to. Great ice cream, Rocky Road. I normally turn it to another channel, and I just didn't do it. And I couldn't believe it when I turned the TV on and it turned on CBS. I'm like, no.
That's a good one. Craig, that's a really good one. Love it.
But as far as the hype of the game, I watched it live down here in Cardinal Land because I live down here now because of my time in the Air Force. And the game lived up to it. I knew, first of all, because this is modern baseball, no way were either one of those guys going to go past the sixth inning at the most, just because they're both young. They're both young pitchers. They're both 23 years old. The days of guys throwing 120 pitches are done because that's how they blow arms out. And I knew both of them were probably going to be on a pitch count. And the thing about the game that made it so amazingly, I think, fulfilled the thing was Miz handled the pressure. He was going up against the best pitcher in baseball, sellout crowd, national television. He walks the first batter because the umpire squeezed him and missed two outside strikes. and he comes right back and just throws out shutout ball, and he made those guys. They only had three or four balls that were hit solid at all. This kid has moxie. I'm really impressed by him.
Craig, before we let you go, great call. Having been in the Air Force, and I understand Maverick is actually a naval aviator. but did you see Top Gun Maverick, and do you agree with Tausch that it's one of the all-time great films? Because I finally saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I got to admit, I liked it even better than I liked the original Top Gun back in whatever that was, 86.
Yes, I have to admit I did too. When the first one came out, I was on active duty as an enlisted guy in Seoul, Korea. And when that movie came out, I was like, this is phenomenal. If I saw this, I'd have joined the Navy instead of the Air Force. But the second one came out, and it led up to its hype. And normally, this, as we all know, seconds usually don't. But this one did. It was phenomenal. So, no, it was good. But you know what? My Air Force did a good job over the weekend doing their mission. Whether you believe in that or not, doesn't matter. They did their mission, and I know some of the people that flew those missions, and it was very cool what they did.
Yeah, amen, and I'm glad they got back safe and sound, much like Maverick eventually does. Spoiler alert, after his plane crashes. All right, Craig, we appreciate you, man. Thanks. Jesse's got... What? Sorry.
I wanted to end. There's a lot of silence there.
So I thought you were maybe going to say something there. That's why. All right. Jesse's got a couple of texts we want to get to. I feel like those two calls, again, not misery loves company necessarily, but I feel like there's been a little bit of a lift. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit of a lift, but I think we all... When there's a big event, we all want it to live up to the hype so bad that we kind of let things swim. And okay, oh yeah, yeah. If we're just being honest about it.
We convince ourselves that it lived up to the hype.
Yes, we try to convince ourselves to validate.
Or convince yourself that it didn't.
I don't think you could sit there and say this is one of the greatest games you've ever seen at AMP.
I don't think anybody said that.
Or one of the greatest pitching battles we've ever seen. It just didn't live up to that. This wasn't Schmaltzy in the pitching 10 innings in the championship game. I don't even remember who he pitched against. But you remember when Jack Morris pitched?
Good story. Jack Morris, yes. You're hung up on a type of starting pitcher from the 80s, man.
Well, I don't know. DeGrom pitched 8 innings yesterday. I don't know. He's 37 years old. Is it from the 80s? It looked like it happened yesterday.
Yeah, why that DeGrom story is interesting is because it's kind of an outlier in today's baseball. Wouldn't you agree?
Is it? Maybe.
I believe
it. Depends. It's an outlier.
I believe it is.
It is an outlier.
Jesse, you've got more Terry Bradshaw tickets to give away.
I do. We're going to the Terry Bradshaw Show at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford on Sunday night. 7 o'clock show. Doors open at 6. I will be there with my mom and dad.
Are these tickets with you and your parents?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. If you happen to be there, what did Riley say last year at the brewery? Pull up. Say hi. I would love to see you.
Sit next to Usher George.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford on Sunday night. The Terry Bradshaw Show is there. Apparently there's music. He's telling stories. It's comedy, memoirs, and music. It's an amazing collection of what this show is. So we're really excited to see what it is. And I'm sure he's going to slam Aaron Rodgers along the way, which is going to be extra exciting for us. So we have some tickets, a 4-pack to give away for tickets this Sunday night.
All right. He wore number 12. He was not going to give that to Aaron Rodgers, even if Aaron Rodgers had asked, based on his opinion of Aaron Rodgers. So number 12 it is, caller 12, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 12 wins 4 tickets to Hard Rock Casino Rockford and the Terry Bradshaw Experience with Jesse Nelson and his parents. What more of a sweetener could you possibly ask for?
Must not be Jesse's birthday weekend.
Well, maybe they've changed the policy, and instead of going to Vegas, they're going much closer to a really nice casino that's more convenient, just an hour outside of Madison. Caller 12 wins those tickets next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio.
Up with it into second, one on to first, and it's a double play!
The Minnesota Twins face the American League leading Detroit Tigers. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
On the Skeens v. Miz discussion, and Tausch is not seeing any of it, except for the sixth inning when they were both out of the game. But Matt in Hartford, congratulations on winning the four tickets to see the Terry Bradshaw show with Jesse and his parents.
I just can't. How do you not utter that sentence and not laugh?
I'm a master of the deadpan delivery.
You know, wow. What? Phone lines have been lighting up when we've been doing these giveaways the last 2 days.
People are excited.
People either really want to see Terry Bradshaw or really want to meet my mom.
I gotta
your
think
mom's
it's George.
Awesome. Yeah, no, your mom's George. Your mom is quirky now. She's funny. Remember his mom.
She's not afraid. Yeah, she's not afraid to get after us either.
Not at all. She
or Jesse, for that matter. All right, Jesse, let's put a bow on our hour-long discussion of Tausch's epic fail with a couple of texts.
Patrick in the car, try working at a grocery store during a noon Packers game, and you get off at 5. Very hard not to get it spoiled, but I've successfully pulled it off a few times. Also, watching a game later is great because you can fast forward through the commercials and halftime, so you get to watch it at an expedited rate. From Patrick in the car.
Good point.
Right. Yeah, it would have been fun for Tausch to do yesterday, but that's not what happened. So you didn't even bother.
No,
you just threw your arms up and said,
"No, I didn't throw my arms up. I just said, oh, all right. Looks like I watched the second inning and pretty much covered the whole game."
Greg and Madison, caller Craig, nailed it. Great game. Tying run came to the plate. Did Tausch want them to leave the game 0-0 and the Brewers scoring off the best without the Brewers scoring off the best pitcher in baseball? You want to get runs off of Skeens. That's the point.
Listen,
of
what I was
game.
Hoping for. I was hoping for just an absolute, like, just drag out battle with the two guys that everybody are excited about watching to pitch. And then, yeah, you wear out Skeens in the sixth. You throw up a four spot in the sixth. And then Miz comes out, and you get through six innings of ball, and the Brewers are up four. It would have been a whole different story than if it happened in the second inning. And I want the Brewers to win. This is a really fun team. You said it. They're 9 games over 500. They're humming along. That's all great. But yesterday was about the hype of the matchup. It wasn't about the Brewers versus the Pirates. It was Skeens versus Miz. And if you think that yesterday that was what it was, great. Kudos to you. I didn't. That's all. And you know what? I can be wrong. And I am. I'm guessing the poll is going to smoke me. And that's fine. But if you're acting like yesterday's was the most, it was just the best thing you ever saw, I would have to disagree with you. But again, that's what makes this country great. You can disagree. I'm going to disagree with you.
Well, Tyler agrees with you. Tyler in Illinois.
All right. Well, that's something I like, Tyler.
Oh, we only like people that agree with us. Does sound like this country. As usual, I agree with Tausch.
Wait a minute.
Where is it?
I've got stuff on top of it. I don't want to have everything fall down in the middle of the show. In terms of hype, it definitely did not live up to it.
Thank you, Tyler.
Once Skeenis is out, it's still the lowly Pirates. And Skeenis has 6 other losses on the year. So it's not like it's some monumental win. I think the hype is all about the Miz, not the game itself. All right. Well, then if the hype
great
is all about
point.
The Miz, then the Miz delivered.
The Miz did deliver.
Yes. Will the Miz sell out his next start if it's against some guy we never heard of?
if they do this right, I think his next home start will be against the LA Dodgers.
Sellout.
So, sexy. Yes. Should be a sellout.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate Tyler agreeing with you because we all need people to support us. I don't know if wins and losses are necessarily the ideal measure of whether skiness is goodish or not, right? I mean, he pitches for the Pirates. The Pirates, we all agree, they're not a contender. They stink.
Very bad.
No, they stink.
So him losing, he's got like a 2 ERA. Like, I just feel like that might not be. I'm glad he agrees with you, but they would you have liked him to pitch more innings? Sure. I'm sure you would have. That's fair. But still, if you're going to say that the hype was all about the Miz, then the Miz delivered on the hype, and he lived up to the hype again. He gave up 2 hits, no runs. Overcame that walk on the opening pitch like Craig in Illinois was talking about in the opening batter. Instead of, you know, cowering in the pressure. So, Josh DiMaggio adds that 3 of Skeen's losses
are
by 1
run. And this is fine. It's about the Miz. The matchup didn't matter yesterday then. If that's the case, great.
The matchup was ice cream on top of ice cream. It was against another great pitcher.
Fair. All right.
Wow. I got Homer to come around on something yesterday,
and
I got
Brewers,
a Nats fan for Couch today. I'm cooking.
The reason that game was sold out yesterday was dominantly driven by Miz. And as long as we look at it through that frame, I looked at it through the wrong frame. It was Miz versus
and I looked
Skeenis.
At it in the clubhouse.
That's why I was excited. It doesn't seem like anybody gives two rips about Skeens. That's what I'm reading. Because if that's the case, you can say, awesome. That was unbelievable. We got to see the Miz. We did this. But if you're there to watch a great pitching matchup, which is what I anticipated, we didn't get it. We didn't. And if you want to sit here and sell yourself that you did, great. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. I'm not going to tell you not to. But that's not what happened yesterday. So
we will shift gears in the 10 o'clock hour. Jesse has turned this into Power Rankings Thursday. I'll explain what he's power ranking or what Pro Football Focus did and whether we have an issue with it. Next, the 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.